Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for this time, this place, this day, these people, this opportunity to worship, to hear your word. We pray that you still our hearts and our minds and fill them only of you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. This is, as you see on the front of your bulletin, Transfiguration Sunday. You've heard the word a couple of times in our liturgy this morning, and it is a time when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain before his disciples, when his countenance changed as he was had this divine moment. And so we mark this Sunday as it leads us into the season of Lent, when we prepare for Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. So this will help us as we move down the mountain into God's future with us and for us. So I invite you to hear the words from Luke. Just keep in mind that he has performed, he has done a number of miracles, including the feeding of the 5,000. He has healed people. He has spoken great words of wisdom and hope. He has preached and taught, and then he comes here to the mountain. So hear this from the Gospel of Luke. Now about 8 days after saying these things, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, whenever I was little, my mother and father at times said to me, as I'm sure you have heard from your own parents and said to your children or children around you, "You know, if you don't change that look on your face, it's going to stay that way. It's going to freeze like that." Now, some of us in this room could play poker very easily. I've been in meetings with you, and I have seen you in different circumstances keep very stoic faces. And you know, you have a good poker face. Now, I'm not telling you to go out, and your pastor is not telling you to go play poker, gamble away the family fortune. Okay, you're not getting permission to do that, but I won't judge you. Anyway, but you know, some of us have that poker face. You never know what that person is thinking. You know, they can be in any circumstance and the expression does not change. Then there are others of us who think we have poker faces, and what we think that our face looks like when somebody says something outlandish is this. When indeed what it looks like is, you know, our faces tell us, express a lot of what's going on the inside, don't they? Some of us more than others. I do not have a poker face. I can't keep a lie going, you know, when someone says keep it a secret, and it, like you're playing the games in youth group and things like that when you're supposed to be the secret keeper. I can't do it because, you know, I can't hide what I'm thinking from my face. It speaks volumes, as do my hands. But you know, that sense of what our faces say can speak volumes about who we are in relationship to Christ and what's going on in our lives. In this particular passage, Jesus' face says a lot because it changes. He is having this divine moment with in community and in communion with God and with Moses and Elijah. These two are representative of the prophets and the law, the things that Jesus has come to fulfill and is fulfilling. And these two are also people who did not die. Tradition tells us, scriptures, they didn't die. They moved on. They were taken up. And so here Jesus stands with these three, and before that, as he's praying, the prayer changes the way he looks. This is not a normal moment in his life or in the lives of his disciples. Something amazing and divine is going on, and you can see it on his face. Jesus is there communing with these, and he is already looking towards Jerusalem, to Good Friday, and to Easter, and beyond. When it says that they're talking about his departure, we're talking about his ascension. It is this sense that Jesus is really looking forward to what is going to be accomplished in the days to come. He's not focusing on what is happening at the moment. He's not wanting to preserve that. He is already moving forward. And that's what this moment is about. This moment is about Jesus moving forward towards Jerusalem. His disciples, however, in particular, Peter's face, I'm sure, was one of awe and amazement. But then it is also one of contemplation about what he's going to do. And while Jesus is looking, his face is facing towards the future, Peter's face is looking back at what just happened. Peter's face is looking to see how they can preserve what they have witnessed. Peter is focused, his countenance is focused on what he can do, what they can do to mark the spot with museums or shrines. He's wanting to be able to preserve the miracle that just happened. To build three buildings or three tabernacles, to put three big X's on the ground that says something special happened here. And Jesus is looking in a completely different direction. And God is telling them, God does a big intervention to turn their faces away from the past. Peter is looking to the past while Jesus is looking forward to Easter. Peter is looking back to see how he can hold on to it. Hold on to the past, hold on to the miracle, hold on to the experience. And God is already moving Jesus to Easter. The plan is in motion. Peter wants to stop it and hold on to it midstream. And in Jesus, we see that it is already moving on. Peter was looking to enshrine the past, and he was happy for that to be his purpose in life. He was happy to do this for Jesus, to let people know just how special Jesus was. Peter's going to come in and manage that. Look, this Jesus was so special that Moses and Elijah came and had a conversation with him. Wasn't Jesus special? Of course, we know God steps in and says, you have no idea how special he is. This is my son. Listen to him. You know, and there, we all know those people, don't we? It does take a voice from heaven for them to listen. And it does. That is what it's going to take, a voice from heaven to say, stop it. Listen. This is my son. Listen. I would imagine that is one moment when Peter did shut up for a second and follow Jesus down the mount. We also have the face of God in this, the disembodied voice of God, that face that comes down, that voice that tells Peter and the others to listen. The voice that came from heaven essentially saying, if you want to hear what is important, if you want to know about me, if you are concerned about heavenly and godly things, then listen to my son. And that's what it takes for everyone in those moments to start looking down the mountain toward Jerusalem, toward Easter, to the place where Jesus, through God, is taking not only those three disciples who witnessed this, but taking all of creation with him to a moment whenever the world is reconciled to God on that Easter morning when resurrection comes. Looking to the past and enshrining the past creates some idols we don't need. As Peter turned around and looked to mark the spot where things had happened, Jesus knew that it would become a place of idolatry that had eventually nothing to do with who he was or what he was trying to accomplish on God's behalf. There are moments whenever we try to hold on to the past and enshrine it and say, look back, see, wasn't that glorious who we were back then? Things were so wonderful at this time and in this place. And we tend to start idolizing those past moments when we look back and say, oh, wasn't it glorious? We only talk about the things that we like. We never really tell the whole story to recognize that what happened in the past really wasn't as glorious as we thought it was. It's just easier than facing our current situation and addressing what's going on now. God, in these moments, took Jesus and the disciples and helped them look to Jerusalem to say it is not about the past right now. It is about moving into my future for the world. And so we can look at this and we can ask ourselves, well, where is our face facing? Are we looking to the past? Are we asking those questions? Ooh, how can we build a monument to a past that makes us feel wonderful and good, to encapsulate something that happened so that we don't have to move into the future that God is making for us? Are we looking at a past because we are too afraid to look at the present and future? Do we miss the miracle of Easter because we look to a past that we wish we could grab back onto and bring back to life? I think on this mountain, God would tell us, don't look to the past, because that's when your face will fade and the glory will not be there. The glory and that makes your face glow is right before you, following Jesus. That is where the encounters, the joy, the happiness, the glory comes, is by following Jesus. Not by looking to a past that he has gone through, but leading into the future where he already is. When I came and interviewed for this church before COVID or during COVID, before COVID, y'all were worshiping with 300 people. We don't have 300 people now. When I came, I think there were 70, 75 people, something like that, on the day that I preached for my terms of call. Our membership was about three times what it is now, or our budget was about 2.5 times what it is now. If we look back to that past, there are many of us in here today for whom that is not a reality. Some of us in here didn't know that church ever existed. We know what's in here today. If we look to that past and a little beyond, we may say to ourselves, boy, we really want to return to those days. We want to recapture who we were before COVID hit us, before people died, before people moved away, before people joined other churches. We want to go back to that. We want it back. Jesus says, well, it was a great thing that happened, but I'm moving on. And so we can either stay in the past, in a shrine, or we can move with Jesus into a future that he has already prepared for us. We can look to the past with sad faces that communicates that we long for something that was lost, with grief in our hearts. Or we could look to the future, go down the mountain with Jesus, follow him to Jerusalem and resurrection. Because we are an Easter people, and Easter people believe in life after death. We believe that people are called out of tombs. We believe that out of ashes come glorious things. Because we follow and believe in a God who says, I can speak the world into being. I can certainly speak into being a future for you. You can look to the past. You can learn from the past. You can hear what the prophets taught. We can learn from the early church. But we live today in a world that is different and yet the same. But what is glorious about it is that God is still with us as God was with us in the past, in the not so distant past, and in the distant past. The same God is with us. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead is leading us into our future. And our future is here in this community, reaching out to the people who struggle with homelessness, reaching out to the people who struggle with food insecurity, reaching out to people who do not know that there is a God who loves them when they feel alone, when they feel disconnected, when they feel that there is no one who loves them. We are here to minister to them in this community, to reach out. We are here to grow together, to grow in our faith, to learn from scriptures, to look to that past, to the stories of Jesus, so that we can move into the future with faces full of hope and joy at what we are anticipating that God is going to do with us and what God is doing through us. This is our time when we are off the mountain and moving forward into the future that Jesus has created for us. And that is a future that is full of Easter, of life, of power, of God's glory, of purpose, to be here working together, not just for ourselves within this room, but for the people who live in our community who need to know the love of Christ in their grief, in their joys, in their struggles, in their ease. We are here to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and embrace those whom we meet, to love our neighbors, to love the people who walk through these doors, to get acquainted with those who come and wash their clothes. This is where Jesus is pointing us. And I don't know about you, but I hope you see on my face that I know we have challenges, but I also know that we are empowered by Jesus Christ, that we listen to the Son of God who says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people." And as we do that, we go into that future knowing that God is faithful to keep those promises. So we are equipped. We are ready. We are ministering now. And we will move into that future that continues ministry, that continues teaching love and grace and purpose in Christ. So it can shine on your face that you are a disciple who knows what it is to be loved by God and to love those who come our way. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.